interesting tonight is, Wednesday, sometimes we think, well, Wednesday's midweek service, and in the minds of, I won't say for you, but in the minds of a lot of people, a lot of times Wednesday night's not maybe as important or as vital as Sunday morning, Sunday night. But you know, I think about the Lord never rests, and he's got a plan for our life. And I just thought, you know, tonight I've not said a word to anyone. What the Lord's been working on my life to speak about tonight. And I just want you to think quickly. We sang this. Brother Don picked the song out. I haven't spoke to him. But 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Then that last one, it says, I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. So the theme of the congregational song was trust and faith. And then Brother Edgy, I didn't know what he was going to sing tonight. He sang, My Father Planned It All. He said, I'm going to trust him. And I'll sing because I cannot be silent. Why? My Father planned it all. And he's trusting the Lord in the way that he guides him. And so he sung on faith tonight. And I'm going to preach on faith tonight. Not only am I going to preach on faith tonight, Lord willing, I plan on preaching a series of messages on faith. This is going to be very simple. If you would, if you'll take the Word of God, open the Word of God to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10. The longer I live, the more important and vital the Word of God is to me. Some of you young people, I know what some of you are thinking. I don't think you're exempt from this. I was this way. You think, well, you know, when I get older, you know, and have some gray hair like Pastor Mark, and when I get older like my parents or maybe my grandparents, you know, then I'll think about things like that. And, you know, this book, honestly, you know, especially in this day, you know, when I was a young boy and video games was big, I mean, it was Stickman, amen? I mean, Pac-Man was like the biggest thing going when I was a kid. Somebody say amen. Y'all was in the Pac-Man era. I mean, you know, we're talking just, you know, a bleeping dot on the screen, all right? But, well, these young people today, they got a whole lot more than blinking dots to look at. I mean, they've got everything under the sun to entertain them. So to sit down and read a black and white book with some red in it, with no pictures in it, most of you ain't going to do it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to wait till you get my age to realize how vital this book is. And the longer I live, and I could have gone through a lot less problems and struggles and troubles in my life if I would have just applied God's word to my life. Make it real to me. Does it do us any good tonight to sit here and listen to this message tonight and say, good message. It's good to know. Does it do us a bit of good if we're sat here tonight and we might walk out here and say, man, that was a good message. It doesn't become a good message till it becomes yours. Till you put something in your life that God spoke to you and you claim that promise, and then you not only claim that promise, you trust that promise and you put it in your life. It's life changing. You say, Pastor, what's the difference between a growing Christian and a dead Christian or a immature Christian? I'm going to tell you why. It's not because they've not heard. It's because they failed to do what needs to be done with it. Apply it to our lives. That's so simple. I want you to think about that a minute. That's so simple. Someone said to me the other day, I have trouble reading the Word of God. He said, I don't understand everything. Well, I said, why don't you do this? I heard this years ago, and Brother Milford uses this word all the time. I said, why don't you read till you get you a nugget? I had a Bible teacher in college said, look, why don't you read the Proverbs till you get one? See, it's not that we can't understand the Bible. We won't take the time to read till we do get something that we can understand. And by the way, the things I don't understand in this book don't bother me. I'm going to tell you what bothers me. It's the things I understand and I'm just not willing to do it. That's what bothers me. But tonight, faith. Now, I've preached the last 3 weeks, Wednesday night and the last two Sundays, on this thing. You did not believe me in this thing. So now I want to shift over to Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to notice, if you'll look in verse number 21, the Bible says, and having an high priest over the house of God. Notice verse 22, let us draw near, what? With a true heart. And in full assurance of faith. There's that word, of faith, in full assurance. We've got to draw nigh to him in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Then we could begin reading with verse 32. Of course, talking of Jesus Christ here, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, he's speaking to these people, and saying, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven, notice this, a better and a more enduring substance. How do we know that? By faith. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now notice this. Now the just shall live by faith. Four times in the Word of God, you are going to read, now the just shall live by faith. Four times in the Word of God, it's phrased just like this. Now the just shall live by faith. You'll find it in the book of Romans. You'll find it in the Old Testament, in the book of Habakkuk. And you'll find it in the book of Galatians. And you find it right here in the book of Hebrews. Now it's important when God says something once, that's something that we ought to take attention to, we ought to pay attention to. It's something important if God says it once. But if God says it four times, anytime God does something, he always does it on purpose, and he always puts the emphasis where he wants the emphasis, and he says four times, now the just shall live by faith. Faith lives in the high tower. Faith is looking from a perch up in the high tower. Faith is living from a high tower. I mean, I want you to know, the Bible says, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said this, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. And we're talking about the living and trying to survive in this nasty world, this world that's controlled by the devil and his demons, and the world has an agenda, and we understand all of these things that perplex us day by day. So we're talking about battling these forces, and he's talking about the armor of God. And here's what he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewithout you shall be able, notice this, to quench, and I love the next word because every word is inspired and preserved of God, revealed by God. Here's what he says, all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm glad he didn't say, above all, take this shield of faith, because you're going to be able to glance some of the darts. No, 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 no. Notice the word of God. He said all because he means all. That's powerful. See, faith lives in the high tower, above all. I love it. Above all, taking this shield of faith. Now listen, faith is vital. Communism, modernism, education, organization. Listen, all of these things, we could talk humanism. We're talking about all kinds of things that have become religions in this day. You know, Some people think, well, we fought communism in the 60s. Well, wait just a second. We're fighting it right now. It's just as dangerous right now in America than we've ever had. I mean, I want you to know something. Communism is an enemy of a democracy. Do you know right now in America, there are people that wants everything taken care. They want everything taken care of. They want somebody else to take care of everything they have problems with. By the way, that's socialism and communism. Takes away our freedom. The very thing that our forefathers fought for was democracy and freedom. We've got people right now in our part, in our Congress, in our Senate, in high political places that wants us to go back to communism. But I want you to know we're living in a day where modernism, education, by the way, I'm for education, but I want you to know something. All of these things are trying to take the place. Listen to me now. This is simple, children, teenagers, listen to me now. It's just trying to take the place of good old faith in a living God. Hey, you can't improve on good old faith in a living God. You can't improve in that. You can't improve. You can't make it better. When God says the just shall live by faith, I don't have to live by humanism. I don't have to live by communism. I don't have to live by something, oh, I'm getting educated. But look, if you've gotten educated and you've gotten away from the good old faith in God, you've gotten pretty foolish. Because you can't improve in good old faith in God. It's vital. Faith is vital. Hey, faith is not wishing. Faith is not wanting. Faith is not trying. Faith is not striving. Let me give you some Bible truths of what Bible faith, what real Bible faith looks like. Number one, faith is real. Would you turn just to the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 11? We find faith defined here. It's defined. What is faith? You get a definition of faith. What does that mean? And notice it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I want you to notice faith is real. The evidence of things not seen. Well, Pastor, that's an oxymoron. How can there something have an evidence and it's not seen? Before you can put something into the evidence in a court, it's got to be seen. It's got to be known. But see, we're talking about, here's what's beautiful. Spiritual substance is the evidence of the only things that are real. I want you to think about this with me. Real faith makes things real. Real faith. You say, Pastor, are you honestly living your life and giving your life to an unknown world? No, not at all. You say, well, Pastor, you can't see heaven. How do you know it's there? Faith makes it real. Faith makes it. See, I can't see it, but looking through the eyes of faith, there's an evidence of things not seen. It's a substance, but I want you to know something. Real faith. Faith is real. By the way, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but you say, oh, Pastor, I can't trust things that I can't see. Well, you do it all the time. People do it all the time. Faith is real. Oh, I believe, oh, I know, I can get on a plane. I can trust a plane. I like to ask people, so I just don't trust something with us. I said, well, here's what I started saying to them. I said, have you ever flew? Usually they'll say yes. I said, well, I can ask you a question. I said, have you ever asked to see the pilot? No. Because I don't know about y'all. I've never seen a pilot when I board a plane. Now, maybe you have. I've never seen one. But you know what I do? I go back there and I sit down in a chair, in a seat, and I hope I got an aisle, amen, or a window. And when I go back there, I never went up and said, hey, I'm gonna knock on this door. I want to go in there. You know, well, what's wrong, sir? Well, I want to make sure there's a pilot in there. Oh, there's a pilot in there. Nope, can't do it till I see him. Hey, and better yet, how do I know there's an engine in there? And how do I know it's got enough gas to get us from point A to point B? No, I'm going to tell you what we all do. We get in on that plane, and some people ain't got enough faith to get up in a plane. Somebody say amen right there. Some of you say, I ain't getting in no plane. Do you know that you probably will have a better chance getting killed in a car accident than you would in a plane. But the fact is this, you say, I ain't gonna trust that plane, but you get in a car every day of your life, and you don't know everything going on in that vehicle, but you know what you do? You're putting faith in something you've not seen. It's awful funny, though, boy, when it comes to God. I just can't do it. That ain't real. You got a fairy tale. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something right now here tonight. As sure as I'm standing here, heaven's real. You say, well, Pastor, have you ever seen it? Yes. Oh, that's heresy, Pastor. You never. Oh, yes. It's unseen, but faith made me see it. That's what that verse means. Hey, listen, when you have faith, it opens up. You say, hey, Pastor, I had a grandpa, bless his heart, Grandpa Brandon. He thought it was crazy that we'd go off to a Bible college and get in the ministry. He was worried about my future. He said, what are you going to do? Expect the church to feed you all your life? Expect the church to take care? It bothered him. He's like, man, and here's what he always said. He said, well, are you going to get another degree with that? Like, do you get a minor in something? I said, no, Grandpa. It's a ministry. It bothered him. It bothered him because in his mind, he'd say, hey, this is crazy. And he used to doubt things, and he used to not see. I'm going to tell you right now, he's seeing it now. But before he could see it, he thought I was crazy, but I'm telling you right now, he couldn't understand, why are you giving your life to that cause that you can't see? Well, Grandpa, here's what you don't understand, but I thank God, I believe he got there, and I think he's seeing it now. I think he's seen it before he died with his eyes of faith. But I want you to know something. What he couldn't understand is what he couldn't see, I seen. And people think we're crazy. But you're going to trust something. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to trust the promises of God. If he tells me there's a heaven, I'm going to tell y'all right now, through the eyes of faith, there is one. You say, Pastor, you don't know what it looks like. Well, I got glimpses of it. The book of Revelation gives us a few glimpses. Amen. But listen, I want you to know something. Faith's real. That's tangible. Let me tell all the teenagers here tonight just a second. Let me just say this. We ain't in some mystic something. Now, I know that the Lord, he does some powerful things. And I don't think my friend would mind this. I got goosebumps the other day. I'm just going to be honest. And I don't think my friend, I'm not going to give his name. But I'm going to tell you, it was one of them moments. Now, I'm just telling you, it was, as he told me, I was laughing and crying at the same time. I don't know if y'all have ever done that. But before he even started the story, when he got to this one part, I wish you could have been in the truck with me. I was sitting in my mom and dad's driveway because I went down there to tell them they needed to get a cell phone. Because dad got up on the day that there was ice and we couldn't find him and he didn't have a phone. Anyway, I went down there and praise the Lord they got a phone. Amen. But hey, I drove down there and I was going to go out and talk to mom, but about that time my phone rang, it was somebody, and we got to talking. And listen, my friend, I love him, but you know, he'll tell you this, he has struggle. If he can't see it, he don't believe it. Some people are just made, I mean, I think we're all made that way a little bit, but you know, some people have more of an analytical mind than others. But we were sitting there and he was telling me and we were talking and he said, Mark, I got to tell you this, you know, I was just having a rough night and I had just told him the night before, Brother Mike, I said, why don't you go home, read Psalm chapter 27? And I said, let that thing become real to you. And there was a particular verses there that I wanted him to read for him to make them personal to him. And he said, you know, I went and read them and I've been really trying to hone in on him in his spiritual life. And about that time he called me yesterday morning and we were talking and he said, Mark, I had a rough day, had a rough evening, had a rough night. He said, I've been talking to him about just letting the Lord have his way in his life. And I said, you know, sometimes when you're broken, when you are broken, that's a good place. And I told him to read Jeremiah chapter 18. Because see, when you get broke, God will remake you. And I believe he's in that process right now. And he was at home and he had some trouble. Was dealing with some things. And he said, he came back home and he said, to top all that off, it was 0 degree weather in West Virginia, and his water in his house had froze. So he's discouraged. He said, Mark, I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, I had a breaking point. He said, I was on the phone with somebody, and he said, I was crying. And he said, I can't take this anymore. He said, I can't do this anymore. And he said, I'm telling you what, I'm at my wit's end. He said, I can't do this anymore. And then I come home, and he said, my water's froze. And he said, the moment he said that, he had left the spigot on. He said, Mark, the moment I said that, out of the blue, he said, that water just started running. Now, y'all, look at me. That don't happen unless you get a blowtorch down there and get it unfroze. But at the very moment, he said, I can't take this anymore. And even my water's froze. I believe God said, hey, I want you to know something. I can not only fix a pipe, I can fix anything you need. You say, oh, what a coincidence. No, I say, what a God. Faith is real. And he shows up. He shows up when we don't expect him to show up. I want you to know something. Faith is real. It's tangible. It's something that we can hold on to. It's something that we can trust. We know that faith is trusting God's promises. Trusting him. Hey, number two, I want you to know something else. Faith is a gift. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Would you turn there real quick with me tonight? Romans 12, 3. Mark it in your Bible. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's good advice for all of us. But to think soberly, that word means seriously, according as God, I want you to notice this, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So see, that right there, that promise right there, that statement right there, that phrase right there, that word from our good God has taken away anybody that says, well, I just can't trust. Well, he's calling God a liar. Because God said he has measured to every man a measure of grace. I've heard people say this, well, I'll tell you what, I don't have faith like him. Well, you could. He has given you faith. Here's the question. It's not that you don't have faith. What are you doing with it? What are we putting it in? What are we putting it in? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, psychiatrists and psychologists, I'm going to tell you all right now, they're making hand over fist. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I believe we live in a society where we're going to put all of our money in all those things. We're going to trust all those things before we're just going to trust God. Come on now. I mean, that's where we live. We like use God like at a fire escape, but then when it really gets hot and heavy in our life, we think, well, he can't be the answer. No, he is the answer. Let me just help everybody here just tonight. Look, if he can save your soul, if you can trust him to take you to heaven, you can trust him for all the stuff in between. And you say, well, I just can't trust like it. No, God's already told you. He's just given a measure of faith to every man. The question is not that you don't have faith. What are you doing with it? And what are you putting it in? You know, I see these young ladies, I struggle because, you know, a lot of these young ladies, I was talking one the other day. It's what bothered me today. Listen, can I help all you young ladies just a second? I think I need to tell you, I say this about, I don't know, once or twice a year. Inevitably, there's going to be some of you young ladies that come here to our church. You're going to go out here and you're going to get with a thug. You're going to get with a dud. You're going to get with a boy or a young man that ain't worth pouring water out of his boot. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why you're going to do that. You're going to settle. You're going to settle. And you're going to have more confidence and say, well, listen to me. I've seen it time and time again. These young ladies settling for somebody. Can I help y'all with something? If you'll trust God and let him help you make the choice, the worth waiting will be worth it. Trusting the Lord. Won't you trust? And let me just say this. Instead of every young lady in here looking for somebody, how about you get down on your hands and knees and say, God, won't you put the right one in front of me? See, I believe in the old-fashioned faith. It still works. trust in God for our companion. You know, we prayed as early on, look, God, won't you put the right person in Clay's life? Why don't you put, now we've not, I've not, I'm just going to be honest, I ain't prayed real hard for Kaylee. Y'all pray for me. Okay? I've been working on that a little bit more here lately. Can y'all believe here just recently, Laura and I, we was debating whether we should call a young man in West Virginia to maybe, you know, I'm just going to be honest with y'all guys, I just couldn't do it. So if the people's going to be called, you're calling them, because I ain't doing it. I don't think I can live with myself knowing that she met that young man, and that's who God had for her, and I helped connect her to get married to pull her from us. Amen? Y'all know I'm picking somewhat. I just believe, hey, faith is a gift. He says he has given to every man a measure of faith. It's a gift. By the way, you can't get saved without faith in Jesus. See, we live in a day, well, I don't know about all that stuff. I got saved. How'd you get saved? Well, I got baptized. I go to church. I'm going to help everybody here just a second. We're Baptist here, and Mr. Devin's going to get baptized because he got saved. See, that's very important. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized after you get saved. Baptism is a step of obedience and identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. That water crosses your body like the cross crossed Jesus Christ's body. You're lowered down into that water because Jesus Christ was lowered into the tomb. And I've never drowned you, but I told Brother Devin the other day, I said, Brother Devin, I promise you I won't drown you. I ain't lost one yet. And the reason being is because Jesus didn't drown in the tomb. I'm going to tell y'all right now, on the third day, he come up out of there. And we have a risen Savior. And I want you to know something. He tells us that the only way we can be saved is through faith. And that's a gift. I dealt with a young teenage boy one day at the fair. He was being a smart aleck. He come up to me. He was talking to people about their soul. And I said, young man, do you know for sure if you die you're going to heaven? And he said, yeah, I know where I'm going. He was, you know, I know where I'm going. I said, where are you going, son? He said, I'm going to hell. I said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to have a party too. I said, young man, you're not going to have a party. I've never talked to a young man like that, but I looked at him and he knew a young lady in our church. And I said, he said, well, I know so-and-so. I said, well, great. I said, well, can I talk to you just a minute, young man? I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've never talked to a young man like this. I don't know you. But I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I said, I know what you're doing. You're trying to be funny. And you're trying to act like a jokester in front of all of your friends. But I said, I want to tell you something. I said, the sad thing is, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to split hell wide open. I said, that's no laughing matter. He kind of did this. He said, man, I ain't never had anybody talk to me like that. I said, well, I want to tell you something. I said, I don't know you, but I said, I'm telling you right now, what you're talking about, that ain't true. I don't know where you've heard it. And then I took him to some passage of scripture in the Bible and showed him what happened to the rich man. Luke chapter 16. Hey, listen, what happened? There wasn't no partying in hell. That rich man wasn't partying in hell. You know what the rich man said? The rich man said, oh, would you please send Lazarus so he could just dip a little dip of water on my tongue? He said, because I am in torments. And by the way, he didn't say torment. He said torments, plural. Hell's no laughing matter. You say, well, Pastor, do you really believe a loving God will send people to hell? No, he don't send them there. We send ourselves there by not trusting him. And you know what? There is going to be boatloads and boatloads of good people that have tried it their way. They've tried it with water. They've tried it and said, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm in church. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good lady. I don't do this. I don't do that. That doesn't get you to heaven. Only faith in Jesus Christ gets you to heaven, and that's a gift. I hope you've received that gift, because that's real too. You know, I've never sat beside someone that dies, Mike. I'm being honest. Someone that's died. I have never sat beside someone that's getting ready to die. They've ever talked about how much money they had. I've never had it. I've never sat. And by the way, I've been by the bedside of several, I'd say maybe a half a dozen, that I've been in their presence when they've taken their last breath. Some of them have been sweet, sweet, sweet. There's one that brings horror to my mind every time I think about it. He was lost, and everybody in the room knew he lost. And when that man went out and he took it, he was screaming, hollering, crying. There was horror in the room. I don't even know how else to explain it, that there was horror in the room. I hope I never am in another situation like that again. That man died without Jesus Christ, and there was horror in the room. I don't know how else to explain it. I guarantee if that man could have another shot at it, he said, oh, I'd have put my faith in Jesus at the moment I heard it. But I want you to know something. Faith is real. Faith is a gift. But I want you to know something as I close tonight. Faith, we're going to put it in something. He's given it to every man. We all have faith. We're all going to trust something. But I want you to know faith is victory. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. No more out in sin will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. Pastor, how you know? It looks like we're losing down here. No, by faith. I know we're going to win. We're going to ride them white horses. And I don't even like horses. They scare me. I'm afraid of getting bucked off. Y'all with me? But I just believe these white horses are going to be tame. Somebody help me. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you was from West Virginia. Yeah, but I didn't ride horses. Hey, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this. This is the victory that overcometh the world, your psychology. Your resolve. Hey, you overcome the world. Your resolve. You're a man. You stick it out, boy. That's going to give you victory in this life. No, the Bible says, what overcometh the world? What? Even our strength. Even our what, Brother Milford? Faith. You say, Pastor, how are we going to be winners? How are we going to overcome? Because I'm going to tell y'all something. This world's nasty. How are we going to overcome it? How are we going to be victorious in the onslaughts that this world brings? How are we going to be victorious in temptations? How are we going to overcome the things of this world? How are we going to overcome the philosophy of this world that our young people are being bombarded with every day, all day long? How are we going to overcome the temporary struggles that we face in this world? I'm going to tell you, it's a one word, faith. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. We're going to lay all these things that we see that we think is so eternal. We're going to lay them all down. Y'all take a good look at this body. It's changed through the years. I'm 43. I got to looking in the mirror today. I was shocked. I used to be able to pull my gray hair. Somebody say amen right there. But look at me. They too many to pull now. Y'all see that? Y'all just wait. Y'all getting it. Y'all see all that gray? Now, I know what girls will do. Y'all will dye your hair. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, they ain't never going to be any dye put on this head. I'm just going to be natural. By the way, my wife likes gray hair. She said, ooh, I like you having gray hair. She said, I like that salt and pepper. I said, well, get it salt. Get it more salt. So I'm all right, but I'm going to tell y'all something right now. My body's changed. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now. This old body, it's decaying every day. And one day, you're going to read in the obituary, Mark Brandon went home to be with the Lord. Well, I hope you don't read it too soon either, Brother Robert. But it's coming, and I hope I don't read yours, but it's coming. Because the Bible says it's appointed a man what? To wants to die. We're going there. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I know this body has changed a lot, but one day, I don't know, cancer might get me. I don't know, maybe a heart attack might get me. I don't know what it might be. Maybe I get to go up when the trump sounds. But nonetheless, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. This old temporary bottle, because that's all it is, One day it's going to be changed. You say, Pastor, how you know that real? Faith has made that real to me. I can see it. Just as sure as I'm standing here, I can see it. Because real faith makes things real. And he gives us victory. See, we can withstand a little bit of onslaught temporarily because all of us are going through trouble. But one day, all those troubles will soon be done with troubles and trials. Faith will finally give us victory. But he gives us victory now through faith. I don't know what problems, struggles you have, but you can overcome by faith. Just trust in him.